Amen. All right. Good morning, everybody. My name's Tori. If I haven't met you, I'm one of the pastors here. And I'm grateful to bring the word to you this morning, but not exactly as we usually do it. On a typical Sunday, you'll find, for the most part, you come to Terra Nova Church, and we're going to be going through the book of the Bible, verse by verse, as Pastor Dennis mentioned. We got 96% of the way there through 1 John, and you'll have to wait until next week, Lord willing, to finish that. And I say, Lord willing, to finish that because there could be a different plan if, it'll still be the word, but if baby Arneson comes, my wife is pregnant, and it's any day now, so we could have a little change of plans for that. And I just wanted to mention that I'm grateful that once the baby's born, the church has given us 3 weeks of, we don't need to see your face at all, you can go do, take care of your family. And then the following 3 weeks after that, there's going to be guest speakers, so they'll all be back full time. You're going to hear some different voices, and I'm really excited for you to hear some different voices as well. You're going to hear, continuing to hear, Pastor Dennis faithfully and wonderfully bring us the word. You're also going to hear Junha, our former pastoral intern, is going to come speak with us. Yep. You're going to have Paul Gordon, and I'll give him a little more of an introduction. I know you've heard his name a lot recently, and some of you know him very well. And then you're also going to have Pastor Daniel from Saratoga is going to come share the word with us. And then one more, a name that you probably none of you have heard before. His name is Raphael McCondola. And he is in the Acts 29 lead pastor cohort that I'm in. And I'm very excited for him to come share with you as well. He's brilliant. And more than that, he cares not just to come share the word to check it off. He's already checked in with me to ask me, how can I be praying for your church? What's the kind of, you know, give me an idea of the kind of passage that would be helpful to preach to the church. And so I'm looking forward to all of those voices that we're going to have. So usually we're going through the word verse by verse. So why aren't we doing that today? Because we are a family. The church is the family of God. And families make organizational decisions that need to be communicated. And so Sundays like this are important because we want to grow in communicating as a church leadership. And so I understand some of you are more drawn to organizational type, you know, focused Sundays or just in general. Others of you are far less drawn to that kind of Sunday. And the truth is we need both of you. So thank you for being here and being part of our church. You're going to hear a lot of information today, and we would love for you not merely to just listen to it. We want you to take it in, but also we want to continue to hear from you, and we're going to have, after the service today, after the benediction, about 10 or so minutes later, leadership's all going to come up here, we're going to sit down, and we're going to have a Q&A, and we would love to hear any questions that you have for us, so feel free to stick around or sit a bit closer when the Q&A happens after the service. So, but before we get to that, I do want to give you a couple verses. And these verses aren't going to be new because they have shaped the theme of the year for us, which is both Psalm 51:6 and Luke 9:23. Psalm 51:6 says, "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." And then Luke 9:23, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And those two verses have formed this theme of obedience to our Lord. And I get that the word obedience is like a curse word for us and for our culture. Don't tell me to obey anything or anyone. Well, we're talking about God. We're talking about God the Son. He is worth our lives. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our obedience. And the more we learn about him, the more we know him, the more we're going to want to obey him, and the more we're going to be given the ability to obey. I don't think it's an accident that we ended up talking a lot this year about abiding, Because to obey the Lord is not just, let me just check off the rules that I see or these, you know, these commands, but in abiding, as Jesus said, he did what the Father, what he saw, what he heard the Father doing. As we're close to God, as we're connected with him, living in him and he in us, we begin to live more like Christ and obey his word. Obedience to our Lord. What has that looked like for you this year, maybe so far? I could start by giving just a couple examples for myself, and I'd be glad to talk to you more about it just personally. But I think the number one lesson God has been teaching me to obey is to slow down. Stop rushing. I put it, some of you have been in the office and have seen it, I had it big letters on my whiteboard, you are done rushing. And it might not be as obvious kind of externally as you look at me, like he doesn't look like he's frantically running around, but inside, internally, I've just been going too fast. And as I thought more about that and brought that to the Lord, he's been teaching me, you're going fast because you're trying to earn and get my approval and my love and to impress other people, and you got to slow down. You don't have to do that. And to stop rushing has led to me understanding a bit more of what he's doing and not just what I'm assuming should happen. And it's helped me take better care of both myself and other people. So that's one for me, slow down. What has it been for you? Have you given it some deep thought? Like what, not just, remember, he delights in truth in the inward being. Not just what you've heard maybe countless times, but how are we living it out? What has it been for you? I certainly don't know all the answers to that. I can't say this is what obedience to God has looked like for every person in our church. But as I gave it just a little bit of thought, some examples came to my mind. I know some of you, even the beginning of the year when we talked about this in September, shortly after, some of you were baptized. And some of you have already committed to getting baptized this coming September. Some of you, for obedience to our Lord, it's looked like opening up about secret sin that you've been hiding, some for years, more than one of us. For some of us, it's meant beginning accountability groups. More than one have formed this year. For some of us, it's looked like having hard conversations that maybe we didn't want to have, but for the sake of love and unity, for the sake of obedience to him, it's worth it. For some of us, it's looked like stepping into serving roles or participating in events that were far beyond your comfort zone and you did it anyways. For some of us, it's been ideas of how you can serve different specific demographics in our church and you're acting on those ideas. For some of you, it's signing up for ministries or service for the very first time. For some of you, it was finishing a book that you were working on. For some of you, it was putting together a Christian musical. For some of you, it's saying no to an opportunity at your workplace, not because that's a bad thing, but because you knew for the sake of the kingdom of God, less actually meant more in this season. For some of you, it meant giving sacrificially to the church, not knowing how crucial that was at the time. For some of you, it's meant pressing deeper into caring for difficult people, and God continues to empower you to do so. For some of you, it's going on a missions trip, an international missions trip, for the very first time, Lydia Gagnon. Or if you're Anthony Gagnon, he's now on his third one this year. For some of you, it's meant pressing deeper into evangelism and sharing with people right here in your life, in the capital region. Crucially important. For some of you, it's meant you've invited people to church, maybe for the first time or the first time in a while. These are all beautiful things. This is all examples of obedience to our Lord. What does it look like for us as a church as a whole then? To get into that, I want us to look back just for a minute. So I gave you some examples personally, got you thinking about examples for the church and how we've, as a family or as an individual, been pursuing the Lord. Now we're going to think about how we as Terra Nova Church, Terra Nova Troy, what has obedience to our Lord looked like? We just had a service not long ago, two months ago, our 20th year anniversary, right? Is that like 2 months ago? I'm really bad with time. It was recently, right? Okay. And during that service, we had just a little taste, just a little reminder that we're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. Are we not? God has been working in Terra Nova Church since its beginning, since before it started. Lives have been changed through Terra Nova Church. People have been served. Children have been born and raised up until now and are still following after Jesus 20 years later. And there's no way of knowing the full impact that God has been doing through his church and the way we've been able to participate that in that over the last 20 years. And as I thought about that, I thought, it's not just what he's been doing here, it's how he's been serving and reaching people through the church here. Two churches have been planted through Terra Nova Church. And on top of that, and this is a kind of a wild number, but just take it in, over $1 million through Terra Nova Church has been invested into church plants around the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Now in 2026, we are currently investing in 6 church plants. But that means over the 20 years, there are 20 churches that exist that did not exist 20 years ago that we've been able to partner with God to pray for and invest in. And that's incredible. Some of you likely come from churches that support direct missionaries, and that's wonderful. But the way that we have decided to get after that work has been through the work of church planting, to give men, women, children the opportunity that we have every week to gather together, to hear his word, to pray his word, to sing his word, to do the sacraments together, to do communion together, to have the opportunity to get baptized into the family of God. And we love to be able to support that and continue to be partner with what God's doing here and around the world. We look back and we marvel. We're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. And as we look forward, we're going to do what Terra Nova always does. It's in the very name itself, Terra Nova Church, fresh ground community, new earth called out community. That's who we are. So what are we doing? We have open hands asking God wherever you want to lead us. We look forward to what's new. If you think about just from an eternal perspective, he's creating and he will bring a new world. From an external perspective, there are new people constantly coming into the kingdom of God. His kingdom is always advancing. And then from an internal perspective, we are men, women, children who are always asking God, what's the new thing you're teaching me? What's the new thing you want me to learn? What's the new growth, new maturity that you have for me? So what does he have for us? We've been saying it for a little while, and it's still very much true. We're open-handed. Wherever the Lord leads, however the Lord wants to lead, we just want him. We just want him. It's his church. It's Christ's church. And I believe that for all of us here who love Jesus, I believe that we want his will. Whether that means we would prefer there to be zero changes in Terra Nova Church, or if that means you wanted changes yesteryear, we still want the same thing, Christ to lead his church. Healthy churches are continually asking God, how are you leading us? What are you doing? Healthy churches continually re-examine, how can we best love God, love each other, serve our community, make disciples all the time? We're continually replanting, if you will. We're continually renovating, if you will. Which reminds me of a quick story. Want to hear a little quick story? So one of my brothers turned 40. And so I drove back and I surprised them. They live in New Jersey, one of the most wonderful states that there is. And it is. And so I got there and I surprised them for his birthday. And as I was there, I noticed that I hadn't been in my parents' house for a little while, and I noticed that the bathroom floor was different. And I thought, they put in a new floor and they didn't ask me at all. It's kind of rude. You can do whatever you want with your house, Mom and Dad. I mean it. So it's totally kidding. But then I went outside, and I noticed as we were going for a walk that they were redoing the entire back deck. Half of it, it's a pretty big deck, half of it was just demolished. There were wood chips, nails, stuff everywhere. If we wanted to go out and enjoy a leisurely evening on the deck as we have, we couldn't do it because they're demolishing it. They're renovating it. And then I had this thought as I saw the deck. You know what my thought was? My thought was, oh yeah, that's the church. Constantly renovating. A healthy home is going to have projects. Because you hate the house? No. Because you care about it. Because you're going to put work into it because you want what's best for it. You want a good home. Now, hopefully, all the changes aren't at once. That would be an issue. I would have had to stay somewhere else to celebrate my brother's birthday. But no, the bathroom, the deck, were being renovated. For some of us, when renovation is happening, which it is, we might think, well, I just don't want that. That's uncomfortable. I want the kitchen to be the kitchen that I've always known, and I want it to work the way that it has, and I don't want anything new. I don't want it messy. But again, when we care, we build. When we care, we renovate. When we care, it gets messy. There's actually a proverb about this, Proverbs 14, verse 4. And it's one that every now and then I think of it, and I totally botch what it actually says, so I'm just going to read it. Where there are no oxen, the manger's clean. But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Are you catching what that means? Where there are no oxen, the manger's clean. So, what this proverb means is, bearing fruit in the future means hard work now. No oxen, no problem, no mess, no nothing. But future fruit means hard work today. Thank God we have lots of oxen in our church. Thank God we have multiple people, lots of people, that care very deeply for this family of God, that want to be part of something so much bigger than any one of us. What Jesus is doing in his church right here in 2026 in downtown Troy and in the places where we live in the capital region. That gives us hope, tremendous hope, that even though we're in the process of renovation, a new kitchen's coming. And we've been working hard to get this new kitchen. And you're going to hear a few updates in a minute, as a bit of a state of the church type of Sunday, of some of the work that's been going on that many of you have been part of and that hopefully all of you have been praying about. And here are some of the topics. There's four of them. A leadership reorganization, a financial update, communication moving forward, and discipleship and small group update. Those are the four. Now, to help with these four updates, we have some helpful, handy handouts for you, which you can be looking at, consulting as you hear about them. And for two of these updates, I'm about to call up Paul to talk about the leadership reorganization, and then you'll hear from Pastor Jason to talk about the financial update, and then I'll come back up and finish off the last two. But before Paul comes up, I know that some of you still don't know who Paul is, and that's totally understandable. You've never met him before. And many of you know exactly who Paul is, and he doesn't need an introduction. But I'm going to do an introduction because not everyone knows him. I enjoyed to do this as well. So if you haven't met Paul, you may not know that he's been serving Jesus for a very long time. And he's been serving Jesus through this church, through Terra Nova Church and through the Terra Nova Network for many years. He started as a lay elder in 2010. And since then, he has served, if you name a role, he's probably done it. So I won't list them all because it's like all of them, except for music. And we're not planning to ask him to have any part in the music, so just don't ask. But like every other role, he's basically served in. And if you know Paul, if you've spent any time with him, or especially if you've worked with him for even a couple days, you will know that Paul is one of the most gifted individuals you will ever meet. And not only is he one of the most gifted people that you will ever meet, he's also one of the hardest workers you will ever meet. And again, people that know Paul, you know that this is true. And with someone who is incredibly gifted and works very hard, you would think they'd probably be at least tempted to be a very prideful person, and I just haven't seen that in Paul at all. His name, Paul, means small, and it's not a dig, it's like humility. And Paul is full of humility. There's Jesus all over him. And so when I say that we're grateful for the gift of Paul and serving our church and God providing during this season through his work, I can't overstate that enough. But Paul's going to come up right now, and he's going to share with us some of the work that we've been doing, including leadership restructure.
Morning, church. Thank you, Tori. But I have the mic, and so now is my time to audition for the worship team. Eric asked me to on the way up. Dennis just gave me a big thumbs down. All kidding aside, though, I did have a part in the worship team at one point. I was on the backline team for a hot second back in the day. And so that's a plug. If you're not a musician, there's always room for you to volunteer on the worship team and backline. Don't talk to me. Talk to Dennis about that. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be able to serve and still be part of a church I love. The past few months, 6 to 9 months or so, has been a joy just to help consider and think about with the team here what that fresh ground or new territory might be, that Terra Nova, if you would, especially as it relates to like leadership structure and organization, which is one of the ways I've been trying to help think through with the team of elders, with the staff, with a lot of the leaders as well, just rethinking the organizational structure of this church, the leadership structure for this church. But before I say anything about new stuff, I want to actually say two things about not new stuff that we have no intention on changing. And so the first thing there is, as we considered something new, a best way to serve this church in this time and in this place, our openness for something new was balanced with a firm desire to remain true to one of our core convictions. And Tori's already mentioned it a little bit, and that is, in all things, Jesus is preeminent. Right, that was a given. Like, we weren't thinking about that. So on this one page that you have, it's the front back with the organizational chart on the back. If you look at the top of that page, and you're going to see in all capital letters the name Jesus, that is not a token nod for us. Right? That's there intentionally, that in Jesus all things preeminent. And this serves two things for us organizationally. One, it is our core conviction as to who leads this church. And two, it's a reminder for everybody else below that, that we serve under his authority. Right? So it's a reminder that we lead with humility. Jesus' desire for this church trumps any of our opinions for this church. So he's on our organization chart. That was a given. A second foundational idea, though, to balance out our exploration for new ground was the biblical conviction that the local church should be led by elders, biblical, qualified elders who strive to lead boldly, humbly, prayerfully, sacrificially. And in short, they try to lead like Jesus would, but under his authority. So I just want to name them. I'm guessing you guys all know this, but I don't know if anybody's here for the first time. So currently there's three elders here at this church, Pastor Tori, who you just heard from, Pastor Dennis, who is back here leading worship, and Pastor Jason, who's going to be coming up in just a moment as well. Those are your three elders that currently serve this church. Brothers and sisters, pray for them. Encourage them. Join them in the work of serving this church. They're not perfect. They're not going to get everything right. But they're genuinely trying to love Jesus and love this church. So, from those two foundational ideas, though, we were looking to modify a few things. And so I do want to call your attention to a couple of those things. I'm not going to be able to mention everything, as Tori mentioned, I think Dennis mentioned earlier too, immediately after this or about 10 minutes after the service. There'll be a Q&A, so there'll be more opportunity to talk about some of these things. But another proverb for you, and I don't have any slides. I didn't even think about that, so sorry. But another proverb for you. Here's Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, a people fail. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So there has been a growing desire from the elders and the people of this church for improved communication, increased communication, for help in making important decisions in the life of this church, and to minimize the distance, if you would, from leadership to people. So with those things in mind, one of the new things that I directly want to call your attention to on the organizational chart to help with this, and it's not the whole answer, but it is a part of the answer, is a new advisory and accountability team made up from folks in this church family. So the document that you have, the front page, is actually just a short summary of that team that I'd encourage you to read through. It's a one page, it's a kind of a short read. I want to call your attention to two things on the page, though. The first thing is the purpose of the team. And so I'm just going to read these three things just to kind of give you a sense of what this team is for. It is to provide wise counsel, to provide guidance on significant decisions in the church's overall direction. Two, healthy accountability, offering checks and balances to ensure our leadership remains faithful to biblical convictions, organizational health, and sound business practices. And three, organizational integrity, upholding trust by reviewing key areas like financial health and staff compensation. So there's more there for you to read, but I just wanted to call that out. I also want to call out and draw your attention to the eight founding members who are taking part in this team. So I'm gonna actually ask them to stand so that you can see them and get to know them. So with these eight founding members, if they're here, I don't think everybody's here today, or they might even be downstairs serving in kids. Candace Bailey, Charlie Boland, Charlie's in the back, David Gascoigne, Nick Joseph, who I believe is actually at one of our church plants today, down with June, huh? Yeah. Ben Novello, Becca Pusatier, Eric Westervelt, and myself. So this is the eight founding members of the advisory and accountability team. Yeah, go ahead. I'm grateful for these folks. I'm grateful for their willingness to serve this church and in this manner. And in my humble opinion, this is a really good addition to the life of Tara Troy. So encourage you, read the document. If you have questions, ask any of those members, all right, or stick around and chat with us afterwards as well. So that team met twice in the last couple months. They've already given direction and input and insight into this reorganization process, to the setting up of this team. They've also given some insight into our 2026 budgeting and financial process. Jason's probably going to talk more about that in a minute. But before I turn this over to Jason, I also want to give you a couple staff updates as well on that organizational chart too. So I'll try to do this fairly quick. But staff, when we use the word staff at Terra, what we're trying to communicate, all right, are all key ministry leaders that help lead the various ministries of the church. So on your organizational chart, you'll see that across the bottom. That's who we consider our staff. Now, all of that staff has been reorganized to be overseen, or to report to, if you would, a tag team of two people. One, Tori, as the lead pastor, and myself as the executive director. Tori helps lead by setting direction, by overseeing, specifically through giving spiritual direction to the team. And I come alongside of that by helping lead and oversee and give organizational direction to the team, because both are critically important to the life of the church, spiritual and organizational direction. Now, as it relates to paid staff, I do want to give a quick update here, because this is important. Recently, there was 7 paid staff as part of Terra Nova Troy. If you're in the HR world or corporate world, like, that would have been 5.5 FTEs, or full-time equivalents, if you're familiar with that terminology. If not, don't worry about it. But there was 7. That is now down to 5, and that's made up of 2 full-time employees, Tori as lead pastor, and Krista Ferrugio, who's on vacation today, as the operations and youth director. There's 3 part-time staff members, Laura Santos, our kids director, who's up here with us this morning, and myself, interim executive director, and Dennis Gardner as interim worship pastor as well. I want to also draw your name, though, to 2 title changes that you may have heard when I just did that a little bit. Krista's first. She was the connections coordinator, thank you, and our youth director. Now we're just simplifying that down to operations director. I think it more accurately reflects the work that Krista is doing and how she's serving. Krista is the staff member who has picked up the majority of the work that Heidi Caparutis would have been doing previously. So by reorganizing this and simplifying her title, we're just calling it operations and youth director going forward. The other one was Dennis, who was the discipleship and operations pastor and currently is the interim worship pastor. Now, quick note on why both Dennis and I have the word interim in our title. And that's just to allow us time, to give us time to keep evaluating where our church is, where we are going, and to give us the flexibility to then staff accordingly, based on vision, direction, based on needs and resources and gifts. We don't want to move too quickly in all of these areas. But I'm grateful for Dennis. I'm grateful for the pivot that he has made in serving this church. And he's picking up most of the work that Rob Caparutis would have been doing when he was here. And this is the Dennis that I know, I've known for a long time, that you guys all probably know as well. He's willing to serve. He's willing to work and do whatever the Lord is asking of him to serve the church. So, last note, for clarity, I just want to just mention it. At this time, we are not seeking to replace and rehire for Rob and Heidi Caparutis. They're missed, for sure. But rather than that, we've just restructured the team. We've restructured roles to spread that work out amongst Tori, Dennis, Krista, and myself primarily. I'm really proud of the staff, all of the staff, for the past 3 to 4 months, adjusting, praying, being open-handed, humbly serving, asking hard questions, and they're here serving God and serving this church as best they can. All right, so you have 2 sheets. That's the organizational one. The second one is more financial in nature, and Pastor Jason is going to give you an update there.
Well, good morning, church. I'm going to be brief this morning in the financial update that I'm bringing. And my brevity isn't because finances are boring, it may be to some of you. And it's not because finances aren't important, they are. Actually, Scripture speaks twice as many times to how about finances and possessions compared to prayer. And so finances are important. 15% of Jesus's recorded words, he talks about our possessions. And he did that, and the Lord does that, because where our possessions are is where our heart is. And so God continually calls that out. And so it's important for a financial update, but there's a lot of information that you already have. And I'll just kind of conclude this section by just a quote from John Calvin, who says, "Where riches hold dominion of the heart, God has lost his authority." So where riches hold dominion, God has lost his authority. So as a church, as those who give, it's important to hear those updates. And as a church, we need to be financially responsible and good stewards of what you're giving for God's kingdom. And so this sheet that you have here has a lot of detail, and I'm just going to call out some high detail. For those of you who look at this sheet and say it's not enough, which there's probably at least one or two of you, but there is even more detail on that QR code on your sheet. So if you want to spend your Sunday Sabbath looking at Excel spreadsheets that go back years, you can do that. I think it's going to be nice. You probably want to devote a different day to that. But if you want more detail, that's going to give you a very detailed overview of what our finances have looked like for the last 4 to 5 years, kind of all of our expenses, and specifically this year's budget line. So you'll see that link. It's a link to a Google Sheet. But I want to call your attention to just three kind of highlights of this past year and this year going forward. So we ended the financial year 2025. Now we're halfway through, so this is a little behind. But the update is that we finished in a positive position. So we finished about $67,000 above what our budget was, which is positive and great. And a lot of that is due to two reasons. One, we had a generous one-time gift of $50,000, and we also had some funds that came as North Adams closed the church. So essentially, if you take those out, you'll see we finished kind of almost like break even. And if you remember back from when we did our State of the Church last year, we were kind of projecting we'd be a little behind. So we see God's provision through that gifting, through breaking even, and we're grateful for where the Lord led us in this last year. Second thing I want to call out is that as we move into 2026 and we're setting a budget, obviously we're halfway through the year, so it's a little delayed, and that's because of some of the changes and how the Lord had us pause on things for a while. But we're projecting that giving is going to be down by about 20% this coming year, and that's based on what we have seen already this half of the year and what we know or expect will happen as we go forward. So with that, we want to be good stewards of what we expect to come in. And so we've adjusted our budget accordingly, which brings me to the third thing. So our 2026 operating budget for the last half of this year, we project will essentially break even. $1,000 on a $400,000 budget is, you know, essentially even. So in order for us to do that, we had to make some changes. And so you'll see those changes. I won't go through all of them. But just like in your household, when life changes, job situations changes, pay changes, you can continue to live at the level you lived, or you make some adjustments based on that. And so we want to be good stewards of that. And so we've made some adjustments. We've changed some compensation to reflect accurately the roles that folks are having, but we've also had to do a little bit of changes regarding some of our expenses and some of our retirement compensation. So you'll see that in a little bit more detail. So we're essentially kind of tightening our belts in this season, but we're not without hope that the Lord continues to provide. And so if you want more details, more questions, if you see them today and you want to bring them to the Q&A, that's great. If you're more a reflecting person, you can email jason@terranovachurch.org, or you can see us on any Sunday and ask those questions. And one other call out that I am super grateful for is that this wasn't done just by the elders. So this financial process in this season was done by a new financial advisory team. And so that was led by Paul, myself, Nick Joseph, and David Gascoigne. And so we are grateful specifically for David and Nick, who jumped in to some deeper waters to understand how the church has operated for years, to understand how money is spent, and to understand how we've projected and how we've done things. And their advice has been invaluable, and it's one of the steps we're taking for greater accountability, greater transparency, and it's a big help. When you have three elders, two of which are paid and one lay elder, you don't want to have the lay elder doing all of this themselves. So I appreciate the team that's here and Paul's organization and guidance in that. So I'm just going to close real quickly with a verse from Psalm 127. This was my grandfather's favorite verse. And as I was reflecting this morning, it just came to me to share this. So that verse is, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain." And so when I was up here in March, I talked about how the elders were going to simply go forward in this season, leading out of the gifts that we have. And so we've recognized that our gifts, they're limited. And so we've asked the church to step into, be the builders, to be the watchmen, to take part in all of that. And so we thank you for those of you that have done that. There'll be roles and opportunities as the Lord grows and as leadership changes. And so we are grateful for that. And I'll say, you know, when you add more watchmen, when you add more builders, there's more questions. Things might move a little bit slower, but that's good and that's healthy. And so we're grateful. Going back to this verse, though, I just want to call out the beginning. Unless the Lord builds the house, those labor in vain. So we can add watchmen, we can add builders, we can add elders, but unless the Lord grows it, it's all in vain. So I just encourage you as a church to continue to be prayerful for those in leadership, those helping out, and for this church. What direction does the Lord want to take Terra Nova? Where should Terra Nova go in the next 5 years? How do we spread the gospel? How do we grow? How do we disciple? How do we help others? That's really why all of this is happening, and we want to be open-handed because it's the Lord's church, and we want to be good stewards of it. So I appreciate those of you that have stepped up and for those of you that will be in the future.
You got it. All right. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Pastor Jason. We have two more updates we want to share with you. The first one regarding our small group ministry that we call Tribes here at Terra Nova, and also our communication moving forward. Just an update on that. So for our small groups, we have currently 94 people in 8 different groups, in 8 tribes. And that's 56% of our church in this right now. And that's really significant. That's actually pretty impressive, something to be grateful for, that is ahead of what most churches tend to participate in small groups. And so it shows how much we value that, how much we believe in that. And again, as we think back of our experiences in tribe, I know a lot of us are incredibly grateful for what God's been doing in and through that. But as we've been talking about being open-handed, we're open-handed with what small groups look like moving forward as well. We're going to be taking the time this summer to reevaluate this ministry so that we can be more effective, more fruitful in our journeys of following Christ. But we wanted to take a second to first thank you. We're going to thank the tribe leaders. For some of you have been serving in that role for years and years and years and years and years. And we can't thank you enough for all that you've poured out into the people in this church and the way that you have discipled people through that ministry. And really, only God can reward you for the amount that you've given in that. And so thank you. Others of you have stepped into that role even this past year or 2 years ago when there was a need. And we are incredibly grateful for that as well. We know that the weight is heavy in leading a tribe, and that's because it's a really important ministry. And we still believe that doing life together in small communities is a key aspect of life in Christ. And so even though it's hard work, it's good work. I can imagine even the disciples at times, do you think any of them wanted to just kind of quit the whole doing life with other people and sharing with other people? And even when Jesus was leading them, like yes, they would have wanted that at times as well. So we believe in small group ministry. And so as we're open-handed about it, we're grateful for those that are in a tribe and that filled out the survey that we sent to hear from you, to hear about your experiences, and for the many of you that we talked with in person about those experiences. And you can imagine from all the, you know, the information, the experiences, the input, it's been varied. That's maybe not shocking, of the experiences that we've had. For some of us, there was simply just positive feedback. It's been a great experience. For other people, it's been pretty difficult. And for a bunch of people, it was some years were fantastic and other years were pretty challenging and everything in between. So with that in mind, we want to take this season to try our best to make sure that our small group ministry is as best designed as we can moving forward now here in 2026 in our church. And so here's an update about that. Tomorrow night, I won't ask you to stand this time, but we have another group of people that we asked to participate in hearing all this information, hearing the update and experiences of people, and then we're going to prayerfully think through and talk through what changes, if any, we're going to make our small groups healthy and sustainable, especially for the leaders. I'm going to say that again. So that we can make any changes that may be needed for the health and sustainability of the small groups, especially the leaders. So the group of people that are going to be joining us tomorrow night to talk through that and pray through that are Eric Westervelt, Becca Pusatier, Rachel and Dennis Gardner, Charlie Boland, Renee Gagnon, Dylan Hall, Paul, and myself. And we would love for you to be praying for us as well as we dig into that and think through this really important part of life, ministry in our church. Some of you have questions. Please come ask them 10 minutes or so after the service ends. We'd love to answer them. And then the last update is communication. We know that some of you really value updates like this and knowing what's going on in the life of the church. And you want more than a once-a-year state of the church kind of update. And we hear that, and we appreciate that, we understand that. And especially while we don't yet have membership, we think it's important to have updates like this. And so rather than doing it once a year for the foreseeable future, it's going to be 3 to 4 times a year, and you're always going to know when the next date is. And so the next time we're going to have an update like this is going to be September 13th. September 13th will be the next time we have like a church life update. But maybe you're thinking, well, I don't want to wait that long to share, to listen, to ask questions. Then please don't. Come share. Come participate. Come get involved. It's your church. It's our church. We decide what it is. What kind of church do we want to be? I think often about just growing up in church, you know, as a kid, and now as an adult thinking like, what are we going to do now? Now that God is looking to us to lead, to share, to be the church, what are we going to do? What kind of church do we want to have? I'm not saying you weren't part of the church as a kid. You are. I was. But with the responsibility that we have, right, as we get older, what kind of church are we going to be? Can we be the kind of church where every person is seen and known and loved and challenged? Do you want that kind of church? It doesn't just happen. We want to be a church where every person is seen, known, loved, and challenged. That's partly why having healthy, sustainable small group ministry is vital. What kind of church are we going to be? Can we be a church of people that are all involved in some way so that no one is merely a spectator? Church is not a stadium filled with fans. We're followers. And this is partly why we're launching the advisory and accountability team and creating space for some of you to serve with the gifts that God has given to you. And we look forward to more things like this, more opportunities for our church to get involved. Can we be a church where people pray not because they're told to, but because they want to, because they have a living and active relationship with God, because we can talk to Him at any time, where we don't see prayer as a burden, but something that transforms our burdens? That's why we started this past year or two things like the post-service prayer team. It's why we pray before service downstairs. It's why we have prayer in all of our ministries, and that's not stopping. We're becoming a church that I think understands more and more God can do more in a second than I can do, than you can do in 100 lifetimes. So of course we're going to ask Him. Of course we're going to talk to Him. Of course we're going to, because we love Him and because He has the power to change. We have defiant hope because of Him at all times. We're becoming a church that pray. We can pray for 100 different people to know Him, to get saved, because God may answer one of those, and the other 99 will be cared for as we pray. Or ask God 100 times to bring healing when we ask for it, because we want it, because God may do it once, and the other 99 are cared for as we pray for them. Now, we could keep going on and on. But I hope as you think about the future, you have hope because Jesus is here. Not because of our abilities, not because of some brand new strategy that we have, but because we can bring our few little fishes and loaves to the King. And so, yes, please be praying for me, for the leadership team, as we strive to steward well what God has given to us, as we strive to communicate better and consistently, and as we're sensitive to the Spirit of God wherever He leads us to pivot whenever He wants. And we understand that we all handle renovation, we handle change differently. But the fruit that is coming is worth the hard work today. We believe that this, His church, the family of God, His body, is worth giving our lives for. And living through the pain and the messiness of following Him now. Will you build with us? I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you, God, that there are so many that care about it, that care about your people, that care about the children in this church, in every age and stage, that want to build into it, that want to serve you. And God, you know each person and the gifts you've given to us. In so many different ways. And God, I believe only you see what this church could be if we all made the decision to say yes to Jesus. Not just yes, save me, but yes, use me, Lord. Yes, your kingdom first. Yes, your way, not mine. Let my will die. That Christ would be magnified. That people would come to know Him. That His love would be not just proclaimed here, but shared and experienced here. And not just Sunday to Sunday, but as we scatter, Lord. As we meet in our homes. As we interact with people that you put in our lives. God, again, the only real bullet we have, it's so simple. Come close, Lord Jesus. It's your church. Help us say yes to you now. And continue to lead us. And lead us all the way home. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.